So today, the sermon I'm preaching out of the James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, I'm calling it happy suffering. Happy suffering. I think that that is such a paradox that the scripture teaches us. And I do understand that, and I get it, that a sermon like this isn't one that preachers like to preach. And often it's easier to preach when the preacher is not necessarily going through a serious or difficult trial in their lives. I think of my friend in Ecuador who this afternoon is going to have a memorial service for his wife who passed away a week yesterday. And they're broadcasting it on Facebook. I'm going to join in at 2 this afternoon. I think of Shirley. Many of you know Shirley and the battle that she's going through with cancer and needing our prayers. Think of my friends down in the States. Again, his wife having gone through a battle with cancer, fell a few weeks ago, shattered some of her bones on her legs and trying to regain mobility and use of her legs. I think of a young family in Sherwood Park. I've known the husband for many, many years. Again, just recently in the last month or so, out of the blue, diagnosed with a very serious stage 4 pancreatic cancer. I realize that these are all situations that are difficult and other folks that are going through tough circumstances. I don't want to minimize any of that. And yet even John was here this week and we chatted for a bit and he said this to me before he reiterated it again. Pastor, this situation is pushing us to draw close to God. And we are seeking him in the morning. We're seeking him in the evening. We're seeking him during the day. And he said, I don't know. It's just so good. It's just so good. I was talking to my friend Al. We had a coffee the other day out in Sherwood Park. And a few years ago, not terribly long ago, his wife, Yvonne, went through a serious bout with cancer. And she's been cancer-free now for, I think, 2 or 3 years. But he was telling me how, in one of those evenings when she was sick as a dog, those were his words, she looks at him and says, Al, it just dawned on me that this cancer has more to do with the kingdom of God than it does with me. And then she said these words, if even one person comes to Christ because of what I'm going through, it's all worth it. Wow. I am not sure I could do that. I'm not sure I could. You see, if we don't have a good biblical theology of suffering, when suffering comes, we question God's presence, his love, and his power. And I get to deal with people. I have all my pastoral life. This is happening to me. Where is God? I love God. Why is he doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? And people who've walked away from their faith because difficult times came. And the reality is that this is an issue that primarily it's the North American church and the church in the West that struggles with. Most of the Christians around the world, they suffer regularly for their faith for no other reason than the fact that they are followers of Christ. And yet when you talk to them, you almost never hear them say, oh, would you please pray that the persecution would stop? You know what they ask for prayer? Pray that we will persevere and that we will be strong and that we will give testimony to the power of God. Friends, that is a good biblical theology of suffering. When we remember that and when difficulty comes our way, then we can welcome it. I want to read the passage to you out of James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And the implication, of course, is that we can do something in the process that doesn't allow the perseverance complete its full work in us that God wants to do. Listen to how the J.B. Phillips translation puts it. It says, but let the process go on. Oh, I skipped here. Let me see. I might just have the, verse 4 in the J.B. Phillips. It says, but let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men and women of mature character with the right sort of independence. Meaning we are independent of everything else. Our joy, our faith, our happiness, our peace does not depend on circumstances. It depends on God. And so that is something we need to remember. And the first part of those verses in the J.B. Phillips, it says, when many difficulties come your way, welcome them as friends. I don't know about you. I have a real struggle welcoming difficulties and problems as friends, or even as something that God may have allowed in my life to help me grow up. It's easier to tell somebody else that. Oh, you know, God is with you. He loves you. He's in control, and he will bring something good out of this. But when it is our own lives, it's hard to welcome trouble, trials, tribulations, the testing of our faith. It's hard to welcome them as friends. So what do we learn from James? First of all, James doesn't say, you know, in the unlikely event that you face difficulties in your Christian faith, if that ever was to happen. No, he says it will happen. So it says when it happens. So he says that trials and tribulations are a normal part of the Christian life. And sometimes we as pastors have done Christians a disservice in misleading them, thinking that just say yes to Jesus, come to Jesus, surrender to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, and all your problems will disappear. Well, they don't disappear. They become different kinds of problems. Of course, then we know that God is with us. You know, one time I was on a flight. I don't even know where. I think it was an American Airlines flight from Tampa Bay to San Juan, Puerto Rico. And the flight attendant was very funny. He said, in the unlikely event that your flight becomes a cruise, and then proceeded to give us instructions on how to open doors in case of a crash landing in water. But I like the fact that he said, in the unlikely event. Can I just tell you that this is not what James tells us? He doesn't say, you know, there's a small possibility that you may have troubles. He says, no, they will come. They will come. You can count, and as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, you can count that trials will come your way. So here are some of the typical types of trials that we face in our lives. There's physical trials. Now, when somebody says to me, Pastor, pray for me, I have the flu. I think it's a spiritual attack. Well, you know what? It may be a spiritual attack, but it could just be that it's the flu. But sometimes there are physical trials that we face that have to do with our faith. I think, you know, the story of Job is actually one that deals with a physical attack, an illness that is a spiritual battle. Or Paul says, you know, I have this pain that I have to carry around all the time, and the Lord will not take it away. So there's some of that. There's emotional kind of trials as well. A lot of, especially, you know, in the most of the world, Christians suffer a lot of emotional torturing. And a lot of people actually will tell you that quite likely what Paul was facing was an ongoing, constant battle with depression. And this is something he had to work through, and he had to trust the Lord with. There's financial difficulties when you've been faithful, when you've been hardworking, when you've been generous in your giving. And then all of a sudden, it's like there's not enough. There's relational trials that come our way where we have a hard time in a relational situation because someone, for whatever reason, is just making life difficult. You know, we all have that one person in our life that we could never please. We could never do anything that will, for them, will say, oh, that was fantastic. I'm so happy that you are helping me, or that you encourage me, or anything like that. So it's really important that the relationships, I think, sometimes are the most difficult ones. And then, of course, there's spiritual ones. And it's really, really important that we realize that a lot of our testing becomes a spiritual, where our faith gets attacked, where everything we've believed about God, we are all of a sudden wondering if it's actually true. Or why is it that Scripture says this, but in my life, I don't feel that, I don't sense that. And so there are these kinds of trials, and sometimes we face only one of those, sometimes we face multiple situations like this, a few situations, sometimes we know where they're dealing with trials in every one of these areas, and it's hard. But the second thing we learn from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, is that perseverance or steadfastness results from passing the test of trials. Perseverance. You know, if you want to be a runner, and if you want to run a marathon, I would strongly discourage you from signing up to go run a marathon without training. You start out by running a couple of miles, and then you increase it to 5 miles, and then you increase it to 10 miles, and then maybe you do a half marathon. And then eventually, you start working up yourselves to 20 miles, and then eventually you do a full marathon. I remember when my brother was a competitive runner, he would go to a competition where he would run 5 kilometers, but he would probably warm up running 7 or 8 kilometers. You don't get to run a marathon without training, without building up endurance, without learning to have the steadfastness of, yes, it's cold, I'm going to go out and run. Oh, it's raining, I'm going to go out and run. I don't feel like running, I go out and run, because that will build up perseverance. And the problem that we have is that many times we have not allowed the little trials to build perseverance in our lives, or the big trials. So when the big trials and the testing of our faith happens, we are lost. And we feel like throwing in the towel and giving up and say, why am I even serving God? He does not care for me. He doesn't provide me. I don't think he loves me. I don't feel his presence. And people turn their back on God. Why? Because we haven't let the little trials build us up for the big trials. And that's why it says that perseverance or steadfastness results when we pass a trial. And then it prepares us for the next trial. And that one prepares us for the next trial. You see, that's why we should not kick against the trials that God allows to come into our life, or that brings into our lives. So when the going gets tough, we remain steadfast. Number three, we learn, particularly from verse 4, that perseverance fosters maturity and perfection. Now, the word perfection kind of throws us off, because it's like, wow, well, who can say there's perfect? The Greek term that we translate in most often in Scripture as perfection or perfect doesn't mean to be without error, but it means to make us fit for something. So an athlete is a complete athlete to run a marathon when he or she is fully prepared to run those 26.2 miles and finish them. So the preparation has perfected them, or has made them fit to do that. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to allow. That's why we don't want to give up. When trials and tribulations and the testing of our faith comes, we are calling out to God. We're drawing close to God. In fact, this is one of the things that it just so blesses me. As I was talking to John, he's like, Pastor, we feel closer to God than we've ever felt. We're spending more time with God than we ever have. That's perseverance, fostering maturity. That is, we are becoming more and more like Christ. That leading to us, preparing us, making us fit, not only for other trials that will come our way, but for the work that God has called us to do. That's why Paul says, I asked the Lord three times, I asked him to take this trial, this testing, this sickness from me. And each time the Lord has said, no, Paul. For in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Why? It says, Paul, in your weakness, as you are letting this trial work in you, I am making you fit to allow my power, not yours, but my power to equip you, to empower you to do what I want you to do. Only when we consider that that's what's going on, can we then understand what Paul says, then I will rejoice in my weaknesses. Why? Because then the power of God is displayed in my life. That happens when we let trials build perseverance and perseverance fostering maturity and perfection in our lives. Here's something that William Barclay, the author that wrote the commentary, says: by the way in which we meet every experience in life, we are making ourselves either fit or unfit for the task which God meant for us. You see, the way we respond, the way we pass or not pass the trials, either make us more prepared or less prepared for the things that God has for us. And how many times have we missed being part of something that God wanted to do through our lives, to bless someone, to expand his kingdom, to bring hope to someone, to encourage a person, to pray for somebody to be healed. But we missed it because we didn't allow the trial to build endurance, and endurance to build maturity and make us fit for that work. So friends, when trials come, the temptation is to run away. But can I encourage you? Can I challenge you? Can I plead with you in the name of Jesus? Don't run away. Don't walk away. Don't turn your back on it. Don't throw the towel and say, no, I can't do this. I'm giving up. But stick to it so that you and I can be fit for the work which God is preparing for us to do. So how do we live out this paradox? I think there's a couple of ways in which we can do that. Number one is we got to choose to be joyful. That's what James says, right? You don't have to wonder what James means in any of his epistle. He says, consider it pure what? Pure what? Joy. 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 How in the world can he say consider it pure joy? None of us. The natural thing is not for us to say, oh, what a great thing. This has happened to me, and I know this will make me more like Christ. Lord, bring it on. None of us do that. It's not the natural thing to do. And that's why we are told to choose joy. Paul tells us in his letters, rejoice. And I'll tell you again, I'll command you again, rejoice. Do it. Tell yourself that you're going to do it and then do it. And the second thing that I think facilitates this is in giving thanks. Gratitude is the secret to living a joyful life regardless of what is going on in our lives and around us. That's why, again, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Not in some things. Not in the good things, the nice things, the things that you like, but in everything. And he goes on to say, for this, not what is happening to you, but the giving of thanks. He's saying this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. So that's how we can live out this paradox of happy suffering. happy suffering. We don't deny the suffering. We don't ignore it. We don't say, well, you know, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, when you're not healed because your body is not healed. You say, I choose to be joyful. I choose to believe that he will heal me. I choose to walk in his steps. But I will choose to rejoice no matter what happens. And I will give thanks. When we learn those secrets, then we can be like Job. Job said, even though he slay me, yet I will praise him. I wish that Job had said, even when he heals me, then I will praise him. Or when this trouble goes away, then I will praise him. Or when my friends stop talking nonsense, then I will praise him. Or when they do this, or when they do that. He doesn't say any of those things. He says, even if he slay me, yet I will praise him. I will find joy, and I will be grateful. Tony Evans, again, in his commentary says, hardships can transform us into something beautiful. That is cause for unspeakable joy, not because of the pain, but because of the purpose behind it. Isn't that a great reminder? It's not the pain that we're thankful for. It's not the pain that we rejoice in, but in the purpose that God has for us to transform us into the likeness of Christ through sufferings. I thought you'd say amen and hallelujah and praise God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you, Scripture tells us that you endure the cross because of the joy that was set before you. You endure the cross so that we would have salvation. Thank you so much. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be a group of people that know how to be happy in trials and in difficulties. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.